How many of you like to climb trees? Anybody? Pretty good at it, some of you? Yeah? So when I was a little girl, we had several weeping willow trees in the apartment complex where I lived. Have you ever seen a weeping willow?
Yeah.
They've got these long branches like this. In the summer, day after day, I would lose time just climbing those trees. I would grab the first branch with my hands and, flipping upside down, I would wrap my legs around the branch so that I could pull my body up. And from there, I would climb branch to branch until I was stretching my body so long that I was like the trunk of the tree. I climbed higher and higher, high enough that it would make me nervous now if Kai climbed that high and I as a mom was watching her. But that's what I did. I was not afraid. It was like my body was grafted onto the tree. And the view from the top was amazing. Oh, the things I could see. Even though I was hidden by the long weeping branches and all their leaves, I could peer out and see everybody else. So I would survey the apartment complex. I would check out the field that was in the middle of all the apartments to see if any children were playing kickball. And then I would look over to the other side and I'd look at the pool to see if anybody was at the pool. Or sometimes I wouldn't even look for the people. I would just hang out in the tree and I'd listen and I'd look and I'd watch the birds and the squirrels running about from tree to tree or flying like it was a tree of their own. I would wonder what they were thinking about up in those branches. I'm pretty sure that Zacchaeus must have climbed trees when he was a kid. People who don't have any experience climbing a tree don't one day wake up as an adult and think, huh, I think I'll go climb that tree. So maybe as a kid he climbed by himself, or maybe he climbed with the other neighborhood children in Jericho when they weren't kicking a ball together or playing hide-and-go-seek. Do you like to play hide-and-go-seek? I'll tell you a secret. There are some good hiding places in this church. When I read about Jericho in the time of Jesus, I found that it was a city with a lot of rich people and powerful people in it. In fact, Herod the Great kept his winter palace in Jericho. Herod the Great liked it there because it had warm weather and lots of fresh water springs, which in a place with a lot of desert land, it was a really special oasis. At the same time, because there are so many people with lots and lots of money living there, it was also where the beggars camped out, and they lined the streets hoping that some of these rich people would give them some money to help them. Maybe they needed food, maybe they needed water, maybe they needed a place to stay, yeah? Clothes. Maybe they needed clothes. And so you had the rich people and the beggars. And since children often play together, regardless of how much money their parents make, I wonder if Zacchaeus grew up alongside rich kids and alongside poor kids. Kids like Bartimaeus, who was born blind. As a tax collector, the grown-up Zacchaeus went back and forth between the groups he played with as a child, the rich people and the poor people. And from the poor, Zacchaeus took the money that the Romans required. It is called a tax money that would go to the government. And he brought that money to the rich so that the rich could get even richer. And not only that, it was common at the time for tax collectors to take the money that was owed to the Romans. Will you give me some money, please? And then, oh, that's not enough. I want more than that. And they'd take the extra and they'd put it in their pockets so that they might get rich themselves. Zacchaeus saw how the rich lived. And who could blame him for wanting to become like one of them? Well, the kids he grew up with, climbing trees and playing ball, they probably did blame Zacchaeus, because he had been one of them too. How could he live with himself, trying to take away the money they needed to feed their families, to buy them clothing, and to earn a decent living? It seemed that Zacchaeus was lost to them. Well, Zacchaeus had heard Jesus telling stories about lost people and lost things. He had heard the story of the woman who had 10 silver coins, and she lost one of them. And so what she did was she swept and swept the house and looked in every corner and under every shadow until she found that last coin. And she was so happy about it that she invited all her neighbors over to the house because she wanted to rejoice and have a party because what was lost had been found. And then there's that story of the shepherd boy, the shepherd who had 100 sheep. But one of them got away and was lost. So you know what that shepherd did? He left the 99 other sheep to go find that one lost sheep. And he found the sheep. And he carried it over his shoulders back to the other 99. And he called all his neighbors and friends and said, "Come to the meadow. Come to where the sheep graze. We're going to have a celebration because there was a sheep that was lost. And now it's been found." There is much reason for rejoicing. Yes, Rhea?
If Zacchaeus asked one person for money, do they have to give it to him?
Yeah, it was the law. They could be imprisoned if they didn't give money. She wanted to know if the people had to give Zacchaeus money when he asked them, and the answer is yes. Well, there's also the story about a boy who had grown into a very young man, and he had an older brother. And one day, hold on, Mexican, I'll get to your question. One day, the younger brother asked their father, "I want to have all of my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait until you die. Give me the money." And so the father gave it to him. And that younger brother went out. He went into the city, and he spent all that money on wasteful things. He spent it doing things that you're not going to be proud of when you go back and tell your father. And all of a sudden, he found one day that he had spent all his money, and he was looking over at the laborers. He was looking at the slop that they feed the pigs. Do you know what slop is? Slop is the waste of everybody's dinner plates, all thrown together. And he was looking at it and feeling hungry, and he thought, "Oh, if I went and worked as a servant for my father, I would be able to eat, and I wouldn't be hungry." So he went back, and he begged his father's forgiveness, and the father said, "Let's have a party, because my son was lost, and now he's found." Yes, Maxim? Maxon wants to know, why do they always have to have a party when they find somebody or find something? And that's a great question. I love that question. That just shows, Jesus was trying to show how much God rejoices when somebody who has been lost is found. And so Zacchaeus was feeling kind of lost. So how do you think God felt when Zacchaeus turned to Jesus and turned away from his evil ways? How do you think God felt? Yeah?
Like he wanted to have a party.
Like God wanted to throw a party. So Jesus said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, today let's have a party, and it's going to be in your house, and I'm going to eat food with you." And that didn't seem so fair to the people looking around. It didn't seem fair because they saw all the bad things that Zacchaeus had done. But what Jesus saw when he looked at Zacchaeus was he saw there is some goodness in him, and I'm going to help to bring that goodness out and to let it shine. Zacchaeus decided that day that he wanted to be found. Jesus was walking through town, Zacchaeus knew, and so he followed the crowds to see if this wise man could show him the way to being found. And yet all those people swarming around him, the kids he had grown up with, had grown so much taller than him. He jumped to see over their shoulders. But he could not see a thing. And so he looked around. He saw the old sycamore tree, the one that he used to climb as a child with his friends. Quickly, he grabbed the lowest branch, which, like his hands, had grown thicker with years. And with a little more effort it took than when he was as a child, Zacchaeus swung himself onto the lowest branch. And then he saw him, Jesus. Would today be the day that Zacchaeus was found? It might have been June 16th. Yeah, so to tell you some of the more practical things about climbing trees, in other words, some practical ways of having a spiritual life that helps you to see God, I've invited Elder Kayla Garcia, who's one of the Sunday school teachers, to share a few words.
Hello, good morning. So, we see in the story of Zacchaeus how Jesus calls him out randomly and tells him to climb down for that tree so they can talk and have him take him to his house. Notice how Jesus did not ask Zacchaeus if he could take him to his house. He told him, hurry, climb down from that tree and take me to your home. Jesus, being the man of knowing his surroundings, he saw this opportunity. And brought one more child of God under his wings. He didn't waste time. He didn't put excuses to attend the call. Something that we tend to do quite often. When I'm at the gym or even outside of the gym, I hear people say, I'm not taking her aerobic class or her weightlifting class, or I'm not going to try that innovative type of exercise because I need to first be fit. That doesn't make sense. You have to go to the gym. You have to work out. You have to start at something in order for you to get fit. Don't expect to get fit while you're sitting down watching TV. Not going to work. Children go through the same thing, believe it or not. I've noticed that when Christian takes upon a new activity or a new game and realizes that he's not so good as he thought he would be at the beginning, he wants to quit. But guess what? I don't let him. Because I already paid for that activity. But I also tell him that it's okay not to be good at it. Children, if you hope to be skilled at something, if you hope to be good at it, you first have to be willing to not be so good at it. And to be good at it, what is it that you have to do on a regular basis? Practice. You have to attend that call of practice. The same thing happens when we are called to serve God. We want to perceive that call so desperately that we fail to hear it in the most obvious place, here in church. There's a lot of opportunities for ministry all around us. And one of those, guess what? Which one is one of those? Teaching. That's right, teaching. Sunday school. Sunday school. So I want to make a call to everyone in the congregation, not just to the parents of young ones, to attend that call. Attend the call and embrace the act of directing our young ones into deepen their faith and their sense of spirituality. In today's scripture, we see that Zacchaeus finds Jesus, and Jesus finds Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went out of his way and climbed that tree to take a glimpse to Jesus. He didn't know what was awaiting him. Perhaps, and just as Pastor Leah said, perhaps he wanted to be found by Jesus. So why do the same thing? Let Jesus find you and allow yourself to find Jesus through the art of teaching. And join another branch of our church family. It doesn't matter if you don't have young ones anymore. It doesn't matter if you did it many years ago when your little ones were gone, perhaps because you felt obligated to do so. But guess what? The obligation of church ministry doesn't end there. Doesn't end when your children grow up. It shouldn't. It must not. As a congregation, you need to lead by example and be the example. And it's okay if you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I didn't. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I accepted personnel. But I like it. I like teaching. I'm not so sure about personnel yet. But I do like fellowship. I do like that. Christianity, faith, and spirituality needs constant feeding. Just like in a relationship. If you don't nurture it, it fades away. You can get that nature in, you can get that spirituality through the art of teaching. When you prepare a class, when you're teaching it, when you interact with your young ones, and when you exchange views through their perspective, because it's totally different from ours. Take the chance, just as Jesus gave the chance to Zacchaeus. Take the chance to receive and give back. It's a win-win situation. Trust me, it is. And you might say to yourself, oh, wait a minute, I'm already in another committee getting that nourishment. Great, good for you, I like that. But try another one. Try another one for a different filling, for a different type of enrichment. In my previous job, I used to belong to the Toastmasters. And no, the Toastmaster is not where you become a master of toasting bread, like Christian thought it was. It's the art of public speaking. When I was laid off on Pfizer, the club went away. And although I missed it a lot, and I wanted to go back to it, I was not trying hard enough to do so. And I, too, was putting excuses. Oh, it's not in the same site what I am. I have to drive about 10, 15 minutes to the other site. It's on Wednesdays, and Wednesdays are the busiest days for me. I have 2 meetings in the morning, 2 long meetings in the afternoon. Can't do it. But it wasn't until the beginning of the week where I was hearing that nagging voice in my head telling me that you have to go. You have to go this week. This Wednesday, you have to go. So I went. I attended the call, and I went. And it was nice. And as I was telling Christian about my day that day, he tells me, no, mommy, you don't need to do that anymore. You're already doing it. Yes, Christian, I'm already doing it. But if I don't practice, I lose the master of art public speaking. If I don't practice, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't nurture it, it fades away. If we want a rich spirituality, we have to start with a poor or a so-so spirituality. And that's okay, because God will know what to do with it, will know how to work with it. But there won't be much raw material for God to work with if you're not willing to climb the tree. So climb the tree, just as Zacchaeus did, and host in your heart the duty of nurturing the sprouting seed of faith and Christianity that has already been planted in our children.